Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Karen Loomis. She's a marketing and branding expert for small businesses and nonprofits. She is passionate about social change, and she is an adjunct professor. I have Daisy Cendeno. She has spent 20 years as a communication coach and broadcaster specializing in the Latino market. I have Dr. Cole Galloway. He says he's a recovering academic. He's working in social justice and disability, primarily with babies. And I have Michael Davis. He helps business leaders and speakers improve their speaking. He is the founder of Speaking CPR. The question I have for you today is, how are communication skills and interpersonal skills related? Karen, kick us off.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. When I first saw this question, I kind of went, oh, interesting, because can you have one without the other was the first thing that went through my mind. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the second thing that went through my mind, if anybody knows me, is, am I better at communicating with my dogs and animals than I am at communicating with people? So that's the first thing that went through my mind. And what I feel like myself is that you can be a great communicator, but you have to have some interpersonal skills and be able to do that. Because you can't be a communicator if you're communicating and you're tone deaf and not recognizing the responses of what you're saying to people around you. The key to communication is picking up all these nonverbal and all these other clues that kind of help you understand, how are people receiving the message? Are they receiving the message, and are they getting that message accurately?
I love that. Yeah, I've been a speech and presentation coach for 15 years. I believe the root of all human problems is miscommunication. And a lot of miscommunication boils down to context. When I was a financial advisor, a perfect example is people would say, well, I want a comfortable retirement. Great. If you don't do some digging and find out what that means as a planner, I could have gone down, well, I know what my idea of a comfortable retirement is, so I'm going to set you up for that. And that could cause all kinds of problems, whether it's spousal relationships, parents and children, business associates, it all boils down to not being clear on what the other person means.
I was thinking that, can you have a hamburger without meat? It's like, it's not a burger. You know what I mean?
I'm vegan, so we could have a whole conversation about that.
I thought about that. Should I say that? Because I know there's people who are. But what I'm trying to say is there's some stuff that they go together. Like, for example, active listening, emotional intelligence, teamwork, leadership. Communications is leadership. When you decide, okay, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to try to communicate effectively, you need to connect with all of these dots that make you an effective communicator. So you need it as part of the journey. Even emotional intelligence, how to read yourself, how you are reacting, your triggers, and how the person in front of you is also reacting. So yeah, they work together. You cannot have one without the other.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Robin, as usual, I'll take a step above this level or organization, that communication is more than just me to you. It's the environment that is created. It's a communication-rich environment, an open environment. And for interpersonal skills, does the culture that was created really allow you to show up authentically? Does it allow you to flex all of your skills? Or is there a little bit of top-down culture that says communication is this way in these types? For example, someone looks like me, specifically my identities, I can be communicating in a great way or a lousy way, and many people will kowtow to me. My interpersonal skills, I can be great internally. I can say I'm great and everybody around me is great. Do I create a culture where everyone's allowed to flex their communication and interpersonal, or did I cannulate that? Who's judging whether I have good communication? Am I checking in with other people and going, you know, Reagan was a great communicator? Unless you ask some other people and they go, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can judge my interpersonal skills and my communication. Again, it's that network. Mm-hmm. I need to call that out and say, hey, how am I doing on those things?
I think it's interesting that organizations will hire someone. I've been hired to teach communication and conflict resolution skills. And I always try to kind of sneak in there some interpersonal skills, because I think that if I say I offer interpersonal skills training, nobody's going to hire me for that. But that's the important piece of it.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say that it's all about results. At the end of the day, it's about what happened after that conversation. for that meeting. That's when you know these two things work together. So maybe you cannot evaluate yourself, but you can evaluate what happened. What is the outcome after I had that conversation, after I had that meeting? That's when you said, okay, it went through, it didn't work, I don't know what happened. So I think it's something about results that we have to kind of analyze if we they're working together.
So I think we know what communication skills are, like we hear a lot of that, but when we talk about interpersonal skills, what are we talking about?
Well, I think like, as I'm listening to everybody talk, the thing that comes to mind is that we all have our own reactions. We all approach the world from a different intersectional lens, and that lens is what makes communicating with people so complicated, because we all are going to react in different ways to what might be a simple statement to somebody else that we may have a reaction. If we're not picking up on that, that's where those interpersonal skills come in, then we're just talking, right? And communicating is talking, but communicating without the other person receiving the correct message is not communicating.
I that makes a lot of sense. And we all are burdened by something called the curse of knowledge. Right? My experience makes life just exactly the way it is. Mm-hmm. And if we're not willing to say, maybe I'm not right in this assumption because I haven't walked your journey. That's why I'm so big on storytelling. It's a key part of what we work on. Is I believe if every person in the world could sit down with somebody not like them and for 5 minutes listen to their story, it would take a lot of the tension out of life, because we would start to understand and connect at a deeper level and get out of our own head and say, well, my way is the only way.
Mm-hmm. I think Michael hit on a key there. Is when I'm listening to you all, am I believing? Am I thinking? What am I doing during that listen? Am I thinking about the next thing I say? Or am I open to the fact that Karen's about to drop some wisdom that I won't even understand? Like Daisy said, like it may be a couple of days and that bomb goes off, like, are we open to that? And if we created that for everybody at every level, where anyone can come up and go, I've got a great idea, tell me more. Yes, and that, you know, improv style.
I was thinking that we have to understand that it's not a monologue. Every time that we are interact, it's a dialogue. Because when you're just thinking about what you're going to say next, it's becoming about you. And there's no skills in there. There's no interpersonal. There's nothing. It's just your own internal dialogue. You're conversing with yourself. Understand that it is always a dialogue. Even if you are in front of a camera by yourself, you're talking to an audience.
And is interpersonal skills something that we must learn from trial and error? How would I know? What would I see that would say I'm bad at interpersonal skills?
It's the willingness to ask yourself after an interaction, what did I just do well and what could I have done better? Mm. I teach this to speakers all the time, whether it's in front of a camera, in front of a large group. What's our natural inclination as soon as we're done? Oh, I can't believe I forgot that. I'm so stupid. You know, we beat ourselves up. It's like, stop doing that. First of all, ask yourself, what did I do well? So I keep doing that. Then that takes some of the heat off of what you did poorly. Are we willing to do that with the interpersonal communication with our significant others, our children, our closest work colleagues? If we are, it will help us as communicators immensely.
There's some number of primates where we go from individual communication, interpersonal, to the group's representation. I don't know about the groups that you've been associated with, but I don't consider at the University of Delaware, the communication style that the University of Delaware has to the world is very different than how I talk to my clients and parents. And I wish I could sort of inject some of that close, organic, justice style of community organizing interaction at the corporate level, because something's lost, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see your business acting and communicating in a way that you're like, why do we do that? Why do we act so risk averse and close to the vest instead of being vulnerable as an organization? That's fascinating. At some point, you know, I don't know, it's 15 people, 18, we turn into this symbiotic organism that now has to have a marketing person or a PR person scrub it and push it out. And I don't think that's necessary.
There is science around that says that there's a number where it goes from I'm talking to you to I'm talking to the masses and let me, but I think that being a good communicator is remembering you're always talking to one person. And I think that's a really good place for us to end our 10-minute conversation. Thank you so much for having this with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.